Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid
Mass. It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
98.5 The Sports Hub and across the country on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Good and you?
Jimmy, you can release the hounds.
I don't know how you don't vote for Manny if you had Barnes and Clemens on the vote at the same time. Hypocritical to not vote for one and not have the other.
We're just wiping down
from the I just don't care.
Midday?
As long as I have a cup of espresso.
Could have used the
good Wi-Fi. It doesn't matter.
Could have used the long version there,
Jimmy. I don't
Jimmy.
Care.
Just want to give us Maz, why don't you go ahead? Maz, why don't you give us your opening take?
Well, I tell you this about Brady. You know, I've been thinking about this long and hard, Mike, and for you too, Jimmy. Jimmy, you're back there, and you've been on this story for the last 2 months. You know, if we really do some of the digging to go back to it, it's amazing. It stinks. It stinks that, you know, the national guys get the local story.
We can't keep this up.
All right.
Why am I the only one that likes that? Am I the only one that likes it, Jimmy Stewart? How come we only play that when Felger's not here?
Because you like fun. He doesn't.
Maybe that's what it is. In any case, agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Maz. You know the drill. 617-779-0985. Largely caller-driven. Largely. Not entirely. Largely. Okay, it doesn't mean we give you complete control because we always have our finger on the eject button here on the Felger and Maz show. But nonetheless, as you can see, Mike is out today. Jim Murray alongside Murray on the B side. Matt McCarthy here to give us headlines. Chris Casper will join us as he does every Friday here on the program. Most Fridays, not every Friday. Casper skips school every now and then. But Casper will be in today. We may have a special guest for you in the next hour as well. But again, everybody knows the drill. Agenda-free Friday, largely caller-driven. So Jimmy Stewart, our producer back in Dorchester, along with Billy Lanny in the control room. You guys can open up the phones. Make sure they're all masked, wearing gloves if necessary, and fully disinfected. And Murray and McCarthy also in our studio in Dorchester. I'm coming to you from my home. And let me start with you two knuckleheads. You know the drill. And so, well, first of all, Murray, McCarthy, how you clowns doing?
Great. Happy it's Friday.
Peachy, you?
Yeah, likewise. Also, happy it's Friday, Murray. So which one of you two wants to go first?
I'll start. I was going to do something else, but, I mean, this just kind of popped up here in the last little bit for me. I've mentioned more than a few times already on this show that a while back I stopped following Pro Football Talk on Twitter because I could no longer tolerate the pandering nonsense from bored, woke mom Mike Florio. And still, many of you guys in the audience still like to bust my balls and tweet and email his latest articles to me, which I can appreciate because I'm all for busting balls. So that's what happened today, just within like the last hour. I got an email from one of our regular emailers, Maz, Doug. I think you know him as Larry Larry.
Yep.
And he sent to me Florio's article titled, Bill Belichick's Silence Becomes Conspicuous. And, you know, I was literally wondering last night. I was wondering when the mob would come for Belichick, given his affinity and relationship with the president. Figure it was all a matter of time. Didn't think it would be the next morning. Locally, NBC Sports Boston's own Tom Curran had an article on this very thing this morning. And I thought it was far more inquisitive than Florio's, which comes off as a demand for a statement. I like Tom's article. Florio's not so much, which reads in part. I mean, it's just paragraph after paragraph. But he writes, in this climate, silence sends a message perhaps even more powerful than speaking up, especially when, in this case, Belichick supported a candidate who most recently used tear gas and rubber bullets to clear a crowd of peaceful protesters in advance of a photo op at a church near the White House. At this specific moment in history, and given Belichick's public support for the candidate, Silence amounts to ratification, and ratification of that behavior is antithetical to everything that Stephon Gilmore and other NFL players are trying to accomplish. And to Bill, I would say the very same thing that I said on this show yesterday about Tom Brady, given the fallout to Drew Brees. Talk to your team, listen to your African-American players and coaches, ask what you can do to help them out for the cause. That's it. To the hysterical mob, led by folks like Alexandria Florio-Cortez, give them nothing. You can't win. You won't win, Bill. You can't. Take a scroll through Twitter, any of you that haven't done this week. Take a gander at the comment section of the statements put out by teams and brands. Not one of them will suffice. Nothing is good enough. You won't appease these people. You're not going to do it. Unless Bill Belichick was to completely denounce his affiliation with the president and say you're an idiot for voting for him and writing that letter for him when he did the whole thing up in New Hampshire in 2016. But that's not going to happen. Anyone with a rational mind knows that's not going to happen. So anything that Belichick would put out, whether it's a statement, whether he put himself in front of a camera, it's not going to be good enough. And that he doesn't owe you people. Like he owes his team and his teammates and the people that he works with. That's who he needs to talk to. If those that are that work underneath him that feel like they need to hear from him, that's who Bill needs to talk to. The world at large, no. He owes his ears and his thoughts on the matter to his team. That's it.
Yeah, so, you know, Murray, I've always gotten the sense that in this particular area, Belichick has great respect in his locker room. And we all know the story. Ian O'Connor tweeted it this week. He obviously wrote a book on Belichick. We all know the story about that was in the book about Bill's dad, Steve Belichick, Bill's father, being the only white naval officer who would go into an establishment that had many black or African-American members of the Navy in it. He was the only one.
Right.
And so, to me, there is, I think Bill's track record on this sort of stuff is very, very good. And I suspect that he is communicating with his players. Just my two cents. Matt, what do you got?
Yes, I would like to use the platform, Tony, to cordially invite both Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, the president of the MLBPA, to kiss my ass, both of them. And in fact, I would say that they could do it at the same time. They each get one cheek, and they can both kiss my ass because they are equally responsible for the destruction of my favorite sport, baseball. Guys, just 20 years ago, baseball was probably, arguably, still the most popular sport in the country, or at least right up there. We are two decades removed from that, and baseball is on the verge of complete and total irrelevance if it hasn't even reached that point already. And frankly, it probably has. And you know what the sad part is that it's completely all their own doing. It is all self-inflicted. Pace of play. But there's probably been as much talent in baseball as there's ever been. It's not the quality of the play on the field. It's pace of play. It's the stuff they can control. It's the television presentation. It's stuff like this. It's a labor dispute in the middle of a global pandemic when the country is burning to the ground, and these guys think now is the time for a labor dispute. Will somebody wake these guys up? Will somebody seriously wake Major League Baseball up? Don't they realize how horrible they look? I mean, is it really that hard? Because baseball should be one of the first sports back. It shouldn't be one of the last. It shouldn't be the last. It shouldn't be the sport that we're sitting here wondering today if it's even going to come back. I mean, after golf, can you think of a sport that's better positioned to play in a socially distant world than baseball? But somehow these owners and these players can't get their crap together to make it happen. So you know what? Screw them. Screw the owners for asking these players to take these obscene pay cuts. Screw the players for being the obstructionists that they always are. And screw you, Major League Baseball, for the immolation of America's national pastime, a sport that I think people really once cared about. I still care about. Maybe I'm the only person left who still cares about this sport, but you know what? I care, and I am furious at Major League Baseball for the way they've handled this over the last few weeks. It is gross.
Well, so look, a lot of people feel like you do, Matt. We've spent a lot of time on it, and I am also going to get to baseball, but on a different subject. I just want to update people on the latest news, which they already know. Tony Clark of the Major League Baseball Players Association, the head of the MLBPA, his latest statement concerning the back and forth between owners and players, for those of you that aren't aware of this, the overwhelming consensus of the board is that the players are ready to report, ready to get back on the field, and they are willing to do so under unprecedented conditions that could affect the health and safety of not just themselves, but their families as well. The league's demand for additional concessions was resoundingly rejected. That was the statement from Tony Clark that has come out in the last day or so. That is the latest back and forth going on between owners and players, and it pisses off all of us. Okay, so look, we've had a lot of stuff. We've covered a lot of ground this week. Obviously, the Drew Brees story, probably among the most talked about in America, maybe not on these airwaves, but certainly something we'll get to with Chris Gasper a little bit later in the show. The NBA has settled on a format. We all know about that. We'll get into some of the details on that. Adam Silver had had some comments that he made last night that I think are worth touching on. This obviously led to discussions about mascots like the Washington Redskins logo or team name that we touched on earlier in the week. We can hit on that. And baseball, too. And this is the part I wanted to get to because I thought Jeff Passan, who has been all over this story from the very beginning, and Passan's covered baseball a long time now at ESPN. But Passan wrote this sentence today because he acknowledges that at the moment, the owners have the upper hand. The owners have better leverage. The owners can try to implement what might be a 48-game season. A 48-game season that the owners can implement, in which players would get less than one-third of their salaries, and apparently the owners have the right to do this. And what Passan says is the only leverage that major league players have is in some of the ancillary things like cooperating with MLB to promote the game or what have you. So this is what Passan wrote today, this paragraph. And by the way, if you haven't read the story on ESPN that outlines the financial gap between owners and players, give it a read. The math will have your head spinning as it always does, Murray, and you know, all of us. I don't mean you specifically. But when you whittle it down, and Passan does a good job of this, you know what the gap is right now between players and owners? $10 million per team.
Oh God.
$10 million bucks.
So bad.
At least the way that Jeff Passan presented it. Okay, $10 million bucks. The Red Sox are paying Nathan Eovaldi $17 million this year. Okay, or at least, you know, that's his full salary, and that was the deal under his contract. So with all the bad contracts a team like the Red Sox have had, another $10 million is what is preventing them from coming to terms with the players, at least in the scenario that Passan presented on ESPN. But Passan writes, okay, and I want you to listen closely. Further is the ancillary harm players can cause by separating baseball and Major League Baseball, and by that he means in all caps, the actual governing body of the game. He writes of the players, Passan does. They have too much self-respect to allow baseball on field to suffer. In the absence of a deal, players would be exceedingly motivated to make Major League Baseball suffer. In-game microphones worn by players to enhance TV broadcasts? No chance. Interviews with the MLB Network? Unlikely. Meeting with a sponsor? If ever stadiums reopen to fans? Sorry, just too busy. It would be a clinic in passive aggressiveness with players saying that if the game does not want to invest in them, it will simply return the favor. Okay? Here's what I would say to Jeff Passan with regard to this. Do you think baseball players are cooperative now?
No.
Like, what in the whole in-game microphone thing, is that going to save the game? The whole idea of interviews with the MLB Network, is that going to save the game? Players complain that they're not marketed enough by MLB. So MLB wants to market them, and they're going to say no?
Oh, even at this point, if they were going to do it, Maz, I don't think people want to hear from them unless it's like the hardcores like McCarthy. And that's the thing that I think the league, and especially the players, need to realize. There's no 98 home run chase or Cal Ripken coming to save this if they don't start the season. You know, could really kill them.
Murray, he goes through all these things that I'm reading, and I'm saying none of these things are going to make a damn difference with whether or not baseball succeeds. None of them. Not one stinking thing. So the players on that have no leverage. And the sentence in this that bugged me the most, okay, is when he says players have too much self-respect to allow baseball on field to suffer. Has Passan watched the game in the last 10 years? How about the last 5? Because the game on the field blows. The players don't take pride in the game on the field. And I'm not telling you if the front offices do either, because the product has deteriorated badly. But too much pride, self-respect to allow the game to suffer? The game is brutal. The game has suffered. The game sucks on the field. What is he talking about? So, look, I like Jeff a lot. I like Jeff a lot. I think very highly of him. Okay, and honestly, the story's terrific because it really puts the math into context. But I will tell you that this part of it really naturally, which drew the strongest response, was the only part I strongly disagreed with. The players aren't doing anything to improve the game. This is part of the problem. They're certainly not improving it on the field. And look, I've rambled on too long already, but I do want to squeeze in one call because this is Agenda-Free Friday. So, Jimmy Stewart, you can shoot me later. Kenny's on the Cape. Kenny, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
That was worth it.
Yeah, the sports talk radio gods frowned upon you.
That was instant karma for you there, Maz.
That really was. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you what Adam Silver said in the last 24 hours. We'll get to your calls, and I see some of you do want to talk about the NBA. We'll do that when we come back on Agenda Free Friday.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And then once the playoffs start, and this was a point made by Michael Jordan, you know, whose team, the Charlotte Hornets, are not one of the 22 teams. But he's clearly the most respected voice in the room when it comes to basketball. He felt it was very important that after we established the 16 teams, we not be gimmicky, because there were a lot of proposals on the table to do unique tournaments and pool play like you see in international competition. And we took many of those proposals very seriously. But I think ultimately, and I agreed with Michael, that there's so much chaos in the world right now. I mean, even before the racial unrest we're experiencing now, that let's come as close to normal as we can. And as close to normal as we can is top eight in the West, top eight in the East, playing four rounds of seven games. So then that's what we intend to do, and our goal is to crown a champion.
That's Adam Silver, obviously, last night in an interview with Ernie Johnson on TNT. Charles Barkley also in that interview. We'll play a little bit more for it later on. But before I get to reaction to those comments in particular, I forgot to do this at the top of the show because, frankly, I'm an idiot. Agenda-Free Fridays, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, and Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. Once again, Chris Casper will be in later on in the show, and I said we'll have a special guest later. Jimmy, I think I can tell everybody who that's going to be, right? I
mean, yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, so Wick Grosbeck, owner of the Celtics, will be with us in the next hour to discuss the NBA's playoff format. Obviously, ongoing events throughout the country and in the world affect leagues like the NBA deeply. We'll touch base with Wick about that and certainly about the prospects of another championship for the Celtics. We'll get to all of that. But Adam Silver's comment, both of you guys just heard it. I don't know if you heard it for the first time, Murray and Matt, but when you hear Adam Silver say that Michael Jordan was one of the chief speakers to or chief proponents to suggest that the playoff format shouldn't really be tinkered with, you know, 4-7 gamers all the way through, and that they wanted to maintain something as close to normal as possible in the postseason as they could. Just curious as to whether, and you don't have to, I'm just asking whether or not you have any specific response, reaction, or thought that comes from that revelation by Adam Silver.
Maz, I can't believe I'm about to agree with the owner version of Michael Jordan, but I am. I think this is the right way to go for the NBA, a sense of normalcy. And I understand that that's not entirely possible in these times. And listen, as these leagues consider returning to play, we all have to understand that some teams are going to get screwed and some teams are not going to be, some things are not going to be totally equitable. And we're going to have this discussion with, how we should give advantages to higher seeded teams in these tournaments and whatever. I think where you can stay as normal as possible, and I think Jordan was right about this. Now, do I want Jordan having big say in the NBA when it comes to a lot of this stuff, given his track record, on the business side of things and the ownership side of things? No, but I think he's right on this.
And all I got out of it is it just goes to show you that how powerful of a voice that Jordan still has in the room, even if there were dissenters and there was the lone no vote from Portland. Because it's Michael Jordan, I'm sure he helped sway some of those votes that might have been wavering, just because of who he is.
So listen, Murray, I agree that, I think Jordan's vote carried some weight on a topic like that. I'm eager. This is one of the things I'd like to ask Rick Grosbeck. What kind of owner is Michael Jordan? What is the reaction when he does speak? And if you're asking me the cynic in me, does Jordan not want to compromise the playoff structure because he wants to make sure LeBron has to work for another title? Like, I wonder if there's any selfish interest there. And I'm not saying there is. I'm just asking the question that if there was a chance that someone could quote unquote steal a championship and LeBron's fourth ring comes with an asterisk, at the end of the day, we're still going to say LeBron has four championships. So part of me wonders whether Jordan on some level said, no, don't make it easy on anybody here. Like the playoffs, you got to fight through four rounds. 4-7 gamers. That's what it is. That's what you have to do to win a championship. And I wonder if on some level that was a factor for Michael Jordan. Go ahead.
Maybe. I mean, given his level of pettiness, which was on full display for even those that are young enough to not watch him play or remember the 90s. If you saw The Last Dance over the, what was it, 10-week stretch or whatever it was that they played that thing on ESPN on Sunday nights, you knew what he was all about. So that's not out of the realm of possibility.
So let's go to the phones. Mike and Mike and Nashua on the return of the NBA. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I'm an NBA fan, but I'm a Knicks fan, so I have no dog in the hunt. I just want to get him on the court. You guys had a long discussion about, can you do something for the higher seed to give him a slight advantage? But, Tony, I think it was you that said, 7-game series, the best team should win on a neutral court, right? So I like that idea. The refs will be more objective, and let's let the best team win. And yeah, I think they should go 4 rounds, 7 games. Let's do it.
So look, when we were discussing this yesterday, and I know Matt McCarthy has some strong feelings on this topic too. Murray, I think you and I pretty much emptied out our treasure chest yesterday on this one. But the idea that you could somehow compensate for home court by granting an extra foul to the best player on the quote-unquote home team, or giving them an extra timeout, or giving them possession at the start of each quarter, or the second quarter and the third quarter and the fourth quarter, whatever, the final three, whatever it is. Those types of ideas, to me, are among the most asinine things I've ever heard.
Yeah, there's another one. And the other one I liked was from a caller. I found it interesting, but I also found it equally as asinine, is like based on the point differential. So in other words, like Milwaukee would start a game, because they were in double digits, essentially up like 12-0 before they even start the game. It's ridiculous. I'm all for the stuff that we talked about yesterday, maybe some of the aesthetic stuff, maybe a better hotel room for a top seed, things like that. But in terms of more fouls or timeouts or anything like that, please, it's ridiculous.
And Maz, I'm totally with you on this. When I heard you talking about this yesterday, I wanted to pull over my car, FaceTime you, and blow you a kiss, because this was perfect. This discussion on giving all these weird and wonky advantages to higher seeded teams in the NBA playoffs to try and recreate home field advantage, I think has to be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard when it comes to talking sports on the radio. Like, seriously, home court is the worst part of the NBA playoffs, because I think it's the most unfair and ridiculous advantage in all of sports. It's the only sport where home field advantage truly matters because they alter the officiating. Literally, the game changes. Now, I mean, sure, it has, you know, it has an effect in football and, like, whatever, crowd noise, I get that. But they literally change the way the game is called based on the location of the game. It's the most stupid, ridiculous, unfair advantage in all of sports, and I can't wait to see it go away. I can't wait to see basketball played on just an even court, neutral site. Call the game as you see it. This is going to be a great thing for the NBA. They don't need to mess with any of it. Leave it as is. Who cares? The best team should win. That's what it should come down to. The best team should win, not where you're playing the game. Because too often in the NBA, that's the case.
I'm sorry, Matt. So the problem is that the NBA typically likes the best players to win, and certainly to have the best players in the finals. So as much as you would like it, and I would like it, and I said that yesterday, and the caller likes it, the idea of, you know, seven games, neutral site, let's see who wins. The league just doesn't prefer it that way. History has shown that. Let's try Kenny again on the Cape. Kenny, you have like 10 seconds, maybe five, to show me that quick, your phone is better.
Hey, does Tony Clark need to step down as president? Because I feel like he does. This has been just a bad look, and I feel like he needs to step down. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so Kenny's obviously talking about MLB, and to me, this is one of the, you know, the real critical issues at the center of this thing that doesn't get talked about a lot, at least not among fans, and it probably shouldn't. But the players got their asses kicked on the last agreement. On the last deal between players and owners, the players got their asses kicked, and they gave up a lot. And that was Tony Clark's first deal as the head of the players' union. So I think part of the reason, or maybe the biggest reason, you're getting all this noise and this resistance from the players' association is because Tony Clark knows his job's at stake. So if Tony Clark gets his ass kicked again by the commissioner and the owners, he's out. He's out. He's out of a job. And now that's only part of it, but because I do think that baseball players have had the upper hand over the owners for a long, long time now. And in this last one, they took a little bit of a beating, and they're acting like a bunch of three-year-olds, even though they've dominated the owners in labor talks, I would say, largely for the last 25 years. Maybe going even further than that. You really should take this back to the early 70s. In any case, 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy has your headlines, and we'll tell you something else that Adam Silver said last night in an interview on TNT. That's next.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, Adam, let me ask you this question about fairness. Nurtic, Zach Collins for Portland, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving for the New Jersey Nets. Are they going to be able to play in this the rest of the season? Because I'm not sure that's fair if you're playing a New Jersey team that's going to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant back, or a Portland team, if they get Nurkic and Zach Collins back, that changes the whole dynamic. Is that fair, or are you going to allow it?
We're going to allow it, and I'd only say, Charles, and this has been the back and forth with our teams, there's so much here that's not fair, and I think we were choosing among multiple bad alternatives, given the pandemic we're dealing with. And I think that many of the teams that weren't able to resume play, those eight teams that are not included, thought it was unfair. And I think there were also some of the teams that already, in essence, had mathematically made the playoffs, that it's unfair to give some of these six teams an opportunity to play in. And I think ultimately, to the extent a team has a healthy roster and those players are able to come back, they are eligible to play.
So again, that's Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA. In this case, talking about the rules that will allow players who have were injured at the time that the pandemic hit. And when I say players who were injured, I mean players in the midst of recovery from long-term injury. Kevin Durant, the most notable. He's one we've talked about a lot on this program for obvious reasons. Durant's a game changer. He comes back and plays. Everything is different. The belief at the beginning of this season is that Kevin Durant was out for the year. Now there is the possibility that he could play. And reports, I should mention, indicate that Durant is not coming back. Okay, Durant is not going to come back. But Kyrie Irving, Nurkic, Collins, these are all players that could enter back into the fray that maybe otherwise would not have been able to play. And so you're going to have variables at play here now, given that the season is returning much, much later, that wouldn't have been in play earlier on. So let me ask you guys first. Again, Jim Murray, Matt McCarthy, both at the studio in Dorchester. The idea that guys could be out with long-term injuries and now come back and play in the playoffs, is that unfair?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, given the unique circumstances, it is what it is. I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with injured players returning. And in fact, I want those injured players to return. And the NBA should want those injured players to return. I mean, you know, this is going to be a very crowded, I think, sports calendar come the fall with the NBA, the NHL playing. Lord knows about Major League Baseball, but, you know, hopefully the NFL starting up. I think the NBA needs these guys. They need them, you know, perhaps more than they would have needed them, you know, in a regular, you know, 2020 world where we'd be, you know, having the playoffs right now. I think the NBA needs Durant. They need Kyrie. They need these stars who we thought weren't going to be able to play. If they can come back and play, I'm all for it, and I think the NBA should be all for it.
And Vegas certainly thinks it's a possibility. I don't know if you saw this, Maz, but
I did.
Yeah, so Caesars Wednesday lowered Brooklyn's championship odds from 750-1 to 60-1. So they feel too, like, hey, Durant could come back, and if they come back, if Brooklyn comes back with Durant and Kyrie and, you know, their first rounders against Orlando, all of a sudden, I mean, not only is that must watch, especially for hoopheads, now that team legitimately has a shot to come out of the East and go to the finals, you know?
So, yeah, so the scenario I wonder about with Durant, Murray, because again, Gasper's here last week and says Durant's not coming back. All the reports indicate Durant's not coming back. What if Kyrie does? What if the Nets play well and win a couple of rounds and all of a sudden they're in the conference final? Now will Durant come back? Like if they were, you know, if they were all of a sudden within striking distance of a championship, does their opinion on that thing change? And the other thing, and I'll ask you, Murray, this because we've been talking about this topic for a long time with regard to the return of the NBA and certainly Durant in particular. Do you ever remember anybody saying he shouldn't be allowed back? Like the fact that Barkley asked the question, I sort of thought came a little bit out of nowhere. And I'm not saying it was wrong to ask it. I think it was a good question. But the idea that they wouldn't be allowed back never even crossed my mind.
No, but look, we've been all so starved for content to fill our shows here over the last 3 months. I'm sure some blowhard out there put it out to the people and it became a thing.
Yeah, I knew Silver was going to answer it the way he did, but... and look, there was another part of that answer that I wanted to hit on, which is Silver saying, look, you know, we were choosing from a bunch of bad options. And I think a lot of people overlooked that, and we'll compare this to the NHL a little bit later on too, because there was no perfect answer in this for any league. And at least the NBA and the NHL have settled on something, whereas a sport like baseball hasn't settled on anything. Mike is in Providence. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, yes, Maz. First off, first time caller, long time listener, love you guys. So my idea was this: you give the number one, number two, number three seeds, number one first option to pick who their opponent is. So now you think about this for a second. You have a player go down during these preliminary rounds. Maybe you want to play them first, or maybe you have a Kevin Durant come back and you don't want to play the Nets going into the first round in your Milwaukee. The other thing is, can you imagine the talk from the team that is picked first to be played and all of the, oh, we're being disrespected talk and everything else and the drama that would build in to the playoffs? So you get...
So Mike, I'm going to stop you there. But you know, we had someone else raise this yesterday, Murray, that one of the ways to address a home court problem in the NBA is to let the higher seeded teams pick who they're going to play. This is not unlike what baseball was theorizing in one of its proposals for the postseason. You know, I don't even remember when that was. I want to say it was during the most recent offseason that that popped up. But do you have any feeling on that one way or the other as to whether that would alleviate the problem of home court?
I don't necessarily hate it. I mean, it's more palatable to me than, again, some of the other ones where you're adding, you know, timeouts or fouls or anything like that that we talked about. Like, I could live with that if they did something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, it's not a horrible option, but can we just leave it as it is? Like, why? I'm sorry, again, I'm sort of with Jordan on this one. What is the problem with playing it 1 through 8 after the play-in round like we always do? At least then it makes it, you know, it legitimizes it in the words of Silver. And I do think that while there was the opportunity to do something creative here, there's nothing wrong with letting teams play it out on a neutral court and win a title by having to work for it and win 4 series.
I'm up.
Dave's in North Attleboro. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey there, thanks for taking my call. Not sure if you watched ESPN2 last night, but there was this college baseball summer invitational, and I just can't tell you how nice it was to watch live baseball, even with nobody in the stands. It was smooth, it was clean, and I just can't believe Major League Baseball, with all their resources, they cannot do and implement what went on last night.
Okay, so Dave, they do. They can. What the problem is, the money. That's what the problem is. And honestly, I think it runs deeper than that. I think I've said this all along. The game needs a crisis. The game needs a crisis. Baseball has been broken for a while now. The game on the field sucks. And the business of the game is broken, certainly from the player's perspective, because there is no such thing as free agency. And honestly, I think this one hurts the owners in a lot of ways, too, because there is no buzz factor about baseball free agency at all. At all. It used to be that baseball free agency would start. There was this great off-season for baseball. Now it's way too slow and nobody signs till January. So I don't think the game benefits from it at all. And I think I'm with the players on that side of it because ultimately it'll mean more money for them during the off-season as to how the free agency is run. The current system blows, but it's not helping the owners either because there is zero buzz for the game. Zero. If it didn't come back this year, Murray, would you miss it?
No.
McCarthy, I know you would because you're a baseball fan.
A lot of people,
and look, part of me would miss it too, but I have to say, in its current form, I'm not going to miss it all that much. I'm not. I just think that the quality of the game is so bad right now that it really is difficult to enjoy. 617-779-0985. We've had a couple of people mention Jarrett Stidham, so I want to put it to McCarthy and to Murray when we come back. Jarrett Stidham leading the Patriots in workouts. What does it mean?
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Welker Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You know, I hear a lot of people like, why didn't the Patriots sign him? Why didn't the Jaguars sign him? Hey, everybody's got to get this through their head. The Patriots are going ahead with their plan as scheduled. This was their plan. Jarrett Stidham's the plan. They weren't caught off guard by like, oh no, Tom Brady left us and our pants are down and we don't know what to do. No, they drafted Jarrett Stidham last year because they knew that this was coming close with Tom Brady. So that's why Andy Dalton's not there. The Patriots' plan was to move on with Jared Stidham.
Chris Sims, NBC Sports. That was last month. Him talking about Stidham, who's been a topic of conversation, a great deal this offseason for obvious reasons, the departure of Tom Brady. By all accounts, Stidham and or Brian Hoyer will be the Patriots quarterback, at least at the start of the 2020 season, where it goes from there. I think all of us presume that Stidham will be the starter at least by the end of the year. And so to you guys back at the studio there, Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy, I want to read something to you from Mike Reese that was posted. Murray, I guess it was this morning, right?
Yeah, to my knowledge, yeah.
Okay, so Stidham has been working out with a handful of Patriots receivers, and I say handful, maybe several, six teammates, it says. And Reese writes, Stidham has been a catalyst for the throwing sessions, sources said, which reflects a show of leadership as the Patriots transition from 19 seasons with Brady as the starting quarterback. Stidham, a fourth-round draft pick, also has been visible in New England in the community as he and wife Kennedy donated 1,000 meals to children and families at local YMCA in May, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so the part of that that obviously is most noteworthy is the throwing sessions or the workouts with Patriots teammates and an indication that Jared Stidham is showing some side of leadership. True or false, Murray, would you agree that that is what it shows?
I mean, by saying yes, I mean, I'm buying into a little bit of the stench of Pat's propaganda that I get from this column from Mike Reese, and that's no disrespect to him, but it's like, okay, what's going on here? But I personally like it because it means it's bad news for Brian Hoyer. He's not the one that's out there that's working out with Julian Edelman and some of the other wide receivers. It's Jared Stidham. So either that's he's trying to take the initiative here because he maybe feels like he's not going to be the starter, and it might be Hoyer, as there's been some speculation here in recent weeks. Or he is the guy. Either way, bad news for Hoyer is good news for us because I think it should be Stidham.
Matt?
True, false, how about neither, Maz? Ultimately, it's neither on that because, sure, maybe it's great that he's showing this leadership and, you know, the catalyst for getting these sessions together. What does that really mean? Ultimately, like, what does it mean if Jarrett Stidham is out there playing catch with Julian Edelman and Gunnar Olszewski? And actually, I hate to burst your bubble, Murray. Brian Hoyer is also a part of these sessions. That's kind of mentioned a little bit later on in the Reese report. Like, oh, but Brian Hoyer's there too. So how do we know specifically that Jarrett Stidham's the catalyst for this? What if it's just a couple quarterbacks, couple receivers getting together and throw? What does that mean about Jarrett Stidham? Really? Like, what does that ultimately mean? So,
well, so Matt, though, but to play, you know, to play devil's advocate here, and I'm not telling you entirely what I believe, this chair comes with a certain requisite amount of facilitation, Murray, as you know.
Yeah.
So, look, Matt, don't you think it indicates at least that the kid's got a work ethic, that he cares, that he's looking to get better, and that he's committed? Don't you think it shows that?
Sure, but I would also say if you're an NFL quarterback, you were drafted in the fourth round, you probably have that work ethic to begin with. So I'm not questioning that with Jarrett Stidham. Like, not to say that this isn't a big deal, but it's really not a big deal. I would expect this of Jarrett Stidham the same way I would expect it of Brian Hoyer, and both of them are there. So listen, I'm not going to, like, you know, go over the top and be like, wow, this is great for Jarrett Stidham to do his job. Like, he's just doing his job. Good for him, but I don't know. Is it really that big a deal? I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Okay, so I would tell you that not every kid does have a work ethic. Robert Griffin III, Griffin III did not have a work ethic. Chris is in Rainer. My buddy Chris, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I've been thinking about Stidham a little bit more. I'm trying to get off the I hate everything about the Patriots getting rid of Tom Brady bandwagon.
I'm still driving right, that bandwagon.
I like you better now than I did before. Go.
If I'm being fair to Stidham, I believe the receivers had a lot of trouble getting separated last year. Everyone said that was the biggest issue, and it wasn't Tom Brady. Now we're coming back with the same exact receiver core as he had. I don't know how you fix the issue of Harry and Myers not being able to get separated, and I don't know if it's putting Stidham in the best position. You're having him replace Tom Brady, essentially, and you're giving him not the best receiving options. I just don't know if we're even going to be able to get a fair shake. But on the other hand, if he does do well, then that shows a lot of him, and that shows that maybe some of the issues were with Tom Brady not wanting to throw those young guys. So I think it will be interesting to see either way.
Okay, Chris, thanks for the call. Murray, how do you feel about the talent of Stidham and, the talent of N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers? Do you feel that there is ability there that the Patriots can tap into?
Harry, yes. Jacoby Myers, not so much. I mean, he flashed in preseason, but you always got to take that with a grain of salt. And it seemed like he had a good rapport with Stidham. But again, it's preseason. So what's that really mean? As the season went along, regular season, it just felt like he was tight. Maybe that was him being freaked out by having to deal with Brady and all that kind of stuff because he was outspoken about that. But I just think he's just a guy. N'Keal Harry, he was banged up. Like, yeah, there's got to be more upside there.
Well, the other thing is Harry, I think, is going to be the kind of guy who will catch contested balls or should.
Given his size, he should right. be a real weapon in the red zone.
Exactly. So I don't know that he'll necessarily get great separation. Myers, I think, has a chance to be a good route runner and who can create space for himself by running good routes. So I think that they both have a chance. And I do think there's a chance that I said this before. I think that there's a chance that they will work better with Stidham than they did with Brady because it looked to me like Brady wouldn't give him the time of day. David in New Bedford, also in the Stidham situation. Go ahead, David.
Yes. This week, Chris Sims came out and compared Jared Stidham to Tony Romo. My question for you guys, if Jared Stidham ends up being like Tony Romo, would that be a success at quarterback for the Patriots?
Yeah. Murray?
Yeah, it would. I mean, you wouldn't win a championship, but sure, you'd have a competitive team. It's 10, 11 wins, and then if he is Tony Romo, he'd crap his pants in the playoffs. So you'd have a competitive product, but you'll never win a championship. So sure.
Matt?
Yeah, no, if you get Tony Romo, you will have done well. I mean, it's hard to get a top-tier quarterback in the NFL, whatever you want to call it, top 10, top 12, top whatever, wherever you want to rank Romo in his own era. If you get a top 10, top 12 quarterback in the NFL to replace Tom Brady, you will have done well. You're not going to win a championship, you know, with if he truly is Romo, and it, you know, to Murray said, to Murray's point in the playoffs. But yeah, of course he will have done well. I'll take that. I'll take that any day. I hope he's that good. I'm not convinced, though.
Asa Nashua instead of him. Go ahead, Asa.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I just want to repeat that, you know, hey, at least Stidham's with these guys in the offseason, throwing to them. I think, you know, it's going to help them. And I also disagree with Mike and Murray, but that look at, I mean, if you had Tony Romo on the Patriots with Belichick and that team, you don't think he wins one title?
Hey, Asa, before we get to even get to the Romo part of it, let me ask you, the fact that you say it's good that Stidham has shown up, did you feel it was bad that Brady didn't show up?
I thought so, yeah. And you have, you
did
know,
you?
Rookie receiver. Yeah, we had a rookie receiver, right? That number
Are
one
you telling pick. The truth, though? Are you telling the truth? Were you annoyed that
yeah,
Brady
well,
didn't
I mean,
show up?
I'm just looking at Why would he help, not hurt, right? He didn't want to do it. That's fine. Look at it, you know, I love
no,
the guy.
But see, so this is the part of it, and I let you go. This is the part of it that is sort of annoying, is that, and I understand where Felger's coming from on this particular point. So now, Brady not showing is okay, it's fine, no big deal, but Stidham showing up is a good thing. It's one or the other. Now, Matt, if you'll notice that when we discuss this, I didn't tell you exactly what I felt on it.
So, excellent facilitation, Matt. Well done.
So my personal sentiment on it is that this is the kind of story that's a bigger story if the guy doesn't show up than if he does. Okay, so the fact that Stidham is out there throwing, great, good, yes. Does it make me do cartwheels? Does it evoke a strong response from me? No, because I expect that he would be out there, particularly a guy who's trying to win a job. But any quarterback worth a damn in the NFL is going to be out there trying to cultivate a relationship with his receivers. It's not anything that makes Jared Stidham any different than anybody else. So to me, the guy not showing up, if Stidham hadn't shown up and Hoyer were working out and Stidham wouldn't be there, don't you think that'd be a horrible sign?
Much bigger story.
Horrible sign. It would be a really bad sign if Stidham weren't there doing those things. Because, again, this guy's trying to get a foothold in the league. So I think it's a much bigger story if he's not out there. Now, the fact that he is, good. It means that nothing is wrong, at least so far. But it doesn't mean that anything is entirely right either. So, again, I to me, there are some stories that are just they're bigger news in the negative for not happening than they are when they do. So I'm glad Stidham is there. That's a good thing. But to me, if he hadn't shown up, holy crap, we'd be kicking the snot out of him and wondering whether he really had a future in the league. That would be a really bad sign if he weren't there. McCarthy's got your headlines. Don't go anywhere. We're in our longest commercial-free segment. And one of the things we discussed this week, the updated format, which we now know in the NHL playoffs. We'll get to that next.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Hi, I'm Jim Burns, sales manager from AAA Work Trucks, your local truck upfitter in Billerica. We all know your truck setup is critical to your success on the job, so choose AAA Work Trucks to upfit your vehicle. We sell and install virtually everything your commercial truck needs, from van shelving to ladder racks, lift gates, toolboxes, power inverters, and much more. Call 866-783-6222, and we'll come up with a solution that works best for you. Visit us at AAAWorkTrucks.com. That's AAAWorkTrucks.com.